I was hoping it worked. Okay. And welcome back to the Coffeehouse Theater Company podcast. Perfect.
We are in season three.
Yeah, we are in season three, actually. This is our first episode we're recording of season three, which
but
is
not the first episode you'll hear.
Because we never do anything in order.
I have no clue when you're going to hear this, but it's still season three. Yes. Even though you've been listening all season, it's still season three.
It is actually the beginning of June. So I don't know when this is going to be released, but
I think, what did we do with the last season? We were like, we took a break for like a month or two and then we jumped back in.
Yeah. Then, yeah, I think so. Wow. So it might be a bit.
Maybe August. That feels like a good time.
Yeah.
To
we could just kind of, yeah, we could do the same thing we did last year. Mm-hmm. Okay. Perfect. I like how we're deciding while we're recording.
Okay. Let's take a quick pause here. When did we go to Michigan last year?
We went to Michigan July 12th.
Okay, so we've got some time. Yeah, I was like, wow, I've said this before, but we're getting close to our 1 year anniversary.
We make such a big deal about this Michigan trip. I don't know why.
Because this is where we started. This is where we decided to
it do is? A podcast. That's when we decided?
Right after.
Oh, right, I know it's right after.
Because we were, while we were right. in Michigan, we were listening to a podcast. Yes. And then we were both, while we were all there, we were all kind of like, wow, doing a podcast would be fun. And then we got home and Aaron was like, hey, Rachel, you want to start a podcast?
So we did. And then actually our other friend who was on that trip has started her podcast too, which we've talked about her.
Yes. Please go listen.
Moral of the Story podcast. I'll put that in the episode details. But yeah, I can't believe that was a year ago. That was a great time. Do you have any updates?
I mean, I'm vibing. Milo, Cody's dog, is going to be a dad.
Yes, he did. Even though he's still like such a baby.
Even though he's a baby. His girlfriend named Judy is a Shih Tzu, and he's a full-bred Shih Tzu. And she's been staying at Cody's house for the past 3 days, and they've been mating. Do you know anything about dogs mating? Do you know anything about it?
No.
It is the weirdest thing ever because a successful mate between dogs, they tie, is what they call it. The dogs literally get stuck together and they cannot separate.
What?
Yeah. And so, you know, doggy sex. Milo, you know.
God, why are you putting this on?
Because this literally blows my mind.
Okay, continue.
Milo's, you know, humping her. And then once they tie, he literally like will turn his body around so they're butt to butt and they're stuck together.
Oh gosh, that's so weird.
It is, and that's like a successful doggy mating. And I guess during that, he's like pumping his stuff into her, and that's like,
oh god, where are you?
No, but I'm saying that's what happens when they're tying, and it's just I
what
never.
What if a kid is listening to this?
Well, I'm sorry, cover your ears if you don't want to learn about doggy sex.
We're gonna
sex.
Have to put explicit.
Doggy sex.
This is the episode, the one where Rachel describes. Okay, no.
But I'm serious. Is that not the weirdest thing ever?
That is a weird thing.
I had no clue going into this.
But now Milo's going to be a dad.
Milo's going to be a dad. Hopefully. They've mated 3 times in 3 days. They've successfully tied all 3 days.
Okay.
Which is, she gets scared when this happens. Judy does, which is understandable because it's the guy that forces them to get stuck together.
Yeah.
And so she gets scared because like she can't go anywhere all of a sudden. And so each time Cody has to come and hold her, it's like she's like whimpering and she's so scared because she doesn't know what's happening.
Aww.
And it's really sad. And finally she calms down, but then they just chill there butt to butt for like 30 minutes until they separate. So like he'll have to sit on the ground with them for like between, because tying can last between 2 to 30 minutes. Yeah. So he sits on the ground with them butt to butt while they are stuck together. It's just so funny because I took a photo. Because he has this happening in his sunroom and one of the doors
should we post this photo?
I feel like we might need to because I have a photo of the sunroom and they're both like facing me but their butts are stuck together. And so their butts are stuck and
poor
they're kind
dogs.
Of at an angle and they're both looking at me smiling and it's just funny because you know they're stuck.
Yeah, you're just like, we've accepted it. We've accepted our fate.
But oh, yes. God. So he's gonna
so
be
that's
a
your
dad.
Update is literally
my baby's gonna be a daddy.
See, good thing Mateo can't be a dad because those dogs would be insane. So it is a good thing that he has been neutered for a while. So
but like I'm very curious to see how these puppies are going to turn out because like I said she's a Shih Tzu and which is half Shih Tzu half miniature poodle.
Yeah. Okay.
And they normally turn out with a poodle's coat or a Shih Tzu's coat. Oh. In my opinion, the Shih Tzu coat is fluffier and cuter than the poodle coat. Judy has the poodle coat. Milo obviously has the Shih Tzu coat. And so I feel like it might, I'm hoping they have more of a Shih Tzu coat because the dad's a full-bred Shih Tzu and the mom is half Shih Tzu.
Yeah.
So that's like going to be like 3/4 Shih Tzu.
Yeah.
And 1/4 genetics. Poodle. So I'm kind of hoping, because you look at photos of like, here, let me pull up this photo really fast.
I think you're like, we're talking for 5 to 10 minutes and you literally just talked about Milo.
I'm just so proud of him. He's going to be a dad.
He is very cute. Shih poop.
Shih poo.
Oh. Like, aw, they are really cute. Okay. Hold on. I don't know if you can. She's showing
we have a guest today.
Yeah.
She's listening to all of this.
You think Eve feel bad? She's on the other end right now listening to this.
She's being silent listening to us talk about doggy sex. But look how cute they are.
They are very cute. I do like the Shih Tzu puppies.
And they're adorable.
So we will see you, I guess.
Anyway, do you have any life updates? That's what's happening in my world.
I guess the only thing is I will be singing soon. I'm singing on July 4th. For that thing that we did 2 years ago.
Yeah, I would have been singing there, but I'm coming back from a trip.
Oh, he asked you. I love his calls. So every year there's this guy and it's in Jay County. And they have a fair and it's always like 4th of July. Like, I think it's always on the 4th of July. I don't know. But it's that weekend and he calls us and he's like this older man who does not understand technology. And he calls us and asks if we'll sing, but like, we get paid well to do it. Like, it's kind of, like, worth it and everything. But it's just his phone calls, like, crack me up.
Did I tell you about the time, like, the last time we sang? Because we didn't do it.
No, I know what you're going to say. I'm not looking at anything. I know what you're going to say. You're talking about the time where he yelled at you?
Yes.
He's like, stop calling me.
Because he called me and I agreed to sing. This was the first year I'd done it. And so after that, I decided, like, while I was picking what I was going to do, I'm like, oh, I'm going to play the piano and sing. And I wanted to call to find out if I needed to bring my own keyboard along or if they were going to have one. And he thought I was a telemarketer and he wasn't answering. And finally he answered. He's like, I don't know who this is on this number, but stop calling me. And I was literally like, and I was like, this is Rachel Werling and I'm gonna be singing at the 4th of July. I just had a question about a keyboard. And he was like, this is who?
And he talks so loud.
Rachel,
he's kind of an icon.
I'm literally about here like low-key shaking in my boots. Like,
wait, what's even his name?
I don't even know.
Like, I know what he looks like, but honestly no idea.
So I like repeated and then he went, Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize who this was. I just thought you were a telemarketer. And I'm like, no. I just wanted to know if I need to bring a keyboard or not.
He just chilled you out. That was like one of the funniest things. I wish I would have heard that phone call. But that was,
so triggered.
I would have been scared. But anyways, I'm gonna see him in a month.
Good for you, Miss Girl.
Shout out to, I call in my phone, he's labeled as Fairground Guy. I don't have his real name. But that way I know when he's calling then. So like I actually answer because if I don't answer right away, he's like leaves like 4 voicemails. Like, did you get it? Did you get my call? I'm like,
yes, he does. I told him, I was like, I'm gonna be coming back from a trip. I'm not sure what time we're gonna be back that day. I don't want to commit, blah 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 blah. It's like, God bless you.
Thank you.
Anyway, but I was like, but yes, please like keep me on your list for next year. Like I love singing there. I just can't this year.
He's
like, of course, you'll be on our list. We'll call you again next year.
He's like, we'll call you as many years as we can.
We're gonna keep calling and calling and calling.
Probably will.
But amazing.
So I guess that's my only other updates. I feel like I'm forgetting something, but probably not. So
I feel like you're fine.
Yeah.
God, I got all the sound effects today.
Yeah.
Coffee.
Yeah, let's talk about our coffee. So this is from Do Good Restaurant and it's in Osgoode, Ohio. This is a fairly new restaurant and they have like a lot of coffee choices.
Well, the concept of this restaurant is really cool. This lady started it because I think she said that she was doing a job that she was really unhappy in, and she thought, I can't remember if she had a dream or if it was something, but about starting a restaurant where the money's donated to a family in need, but she took it as a sign from God. And so she opened this restaurant called Do Good Ministries. And everybody who works there, almost everybody is a volunteer.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So some people do it as an actual job, but a lot of people who work there, they do it, they volunteer. So all the money that they raise and all tips and everything go to a family in need. Like if there's a family dealing with cancer, all the money and proceeds will go to them, or just pretty much they pick a family of the month each month and they donate everything to them. So it's a really, really good like restaurant. And they do a really good thing there. And everybody who works there is normally like there for the right reasons. And everybody's super nice because like they're volunteering. And
they're super nice because they're volunteering.
And it's super good. So I would recommend if you're anywhere near, go to Osgood.
I hear really good things about their food, but I have not gone. I want to go soon, but I'll just put that out there.
I had their lasagna one time.
I'm really excited to go there for breakfast. But anyways, so I got it's called the Three Kings Cup. So like all of their coffee choices, I don't know what their food is like, but they have like, it's like religion based.
Everything is religious themed there.
Cause I'm assuming they're Catholic, right?
I don't know if they're Catholic, but they're religious.
They're they're Christian.
They're Christian.
They are Christian, but I don't know if they're
Catholic. I have to laugh though. They have like all of their coffees, like have a religious name to it. And then the one where you can make your own drink is called Free Will.
Yeah, I was like,
and that one, for some reason that strikes me as really funny. Cause you know, they talk about, oh, God gives you free will. And then they have a coffee and you get to decide what you want in it. And it's called Free Will.
That's why this one's called the Three Kings Cup. That makes
And mine is called the Clouds of Wonder.
I wish I should have took a picture of what was in these things. I know there was, so we both got ice drinks and there is, I know that there are some like white chocolate flavoring. I think.
Do you want to try mine?
One of them is marshmallow. Is yours marshmallow?
I honestly don't remember. I'm trying yours.
I think I like yours better.
I would agree. I do like mine better. No offense.
Thanks. Okay, and hazelnut. So they got like multiple. I think Rachel's the Clouds of Wonder. I think it has marshmallow in it. But honestly, it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I've
never had coffee from there before,
and I've never even heard about their coffee.
Honestly, I did not realize they were gonna have the selection that they have.
Yeah. Well, I only knew because my mom was like, "You have to go there and try their coffee because it's something new." And I'm like, "Actually, that's a good idea, especially since it's not that far away." So kind of works out perfect. Mm-hmm. But I do recommend this coffee. I'm not gonna lie. I like yours better, but it's honestly still good.
I mean, yours is good. Mm-hmm. We've had some coffees that have just been mediocre. So like, it's still on the good.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the coffee test tasting. Oh, that was funny.
Such a good episode.
Such a fun. Okay. Rachel, are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Okay, we're gonna get into this episode. So like what we said earlier, we have a guest today. We have Morgan Miller. A little bit about Morgan. So she actually started her own theater group with, I think it was your friend, right? Yes. So with her friend, and this was actually in the beginning of March, and March of 2020, which in March 2020, everyone knows that's when COVID and the pandemic started. So not only did you start a theater group, but you also were doing this during a pandemic. So she's going to talk a little bit about that, and especially like, this isn't something I think many people talk about, like starting a theater group. You wouldn't really think about that. Like, how would you even get started with that? So this will be a little bit more of how she would do things differently and kind of advice with that. And I think you have maybe a few stories. Maybe a few. Here. We're keeping it on the down low because we want to. I did post in a Facebook group chat about theater horror stories and a lot of people responded, but I do like want to, we're going to keep the names out of this because it's all just kind of like do this for fun. So, and keep things on a positive note. So without further ado, hey, Morgan, I always do that. I'm sorry. Whenever I introduce guests, I always go,
hey, Morgan.
Hey. No, who is John? I was like, hey, John. Like, why did I talk like that? Okay. But yes, Morgan's here. We're so glad that you're here today with us.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Initially, when I was invited, I was planning on talking about all the drama that went down. But after a lot of thinking, I concluded that I didn't want to do that.
Like keep things like on a
one second. I had notes. But
yeah, notes.
I just kind
of. Oh my goodness, you're so much more prepared than we are.
Yeah, we.
Then I started thinking, what would my talking about this in a negative light do to the relationships that I'd worked so hard to repair from the group, as well as you know, I feel like it would cast a bad light on the theater community. We already do kind of get a bit of a rap for things. And so I thought, tell you what, why don't we just keep it on a positive note and talk about what I would do differently, because I would do things way differently now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I guess my first question is, what made you decide to do this? Like, did someone reach out to you, or like, how did you even get involved with something like this in the first place?
Well, it actually kind of started from when I was a child. I've always been someone who loved theater. This may have been wrong, but I loved Phantom of the Opera, which is not something that many three-year-olds love.
Yeah, not me when I was three, but yes.
You were just not like other girls.
Oh, God, right? Stop.
Oh, we're getting into tropes now. And I also grew up in kind of a family that watched a lot of musicals. They weren't necessarily people that, like, they weren't theater people, but they did love musicals. And whenever there'd be a new one coming out, we'd watch it. And, you know, my grandparents loved musicals. I spent a lot of time with them. And as I got older, got into school, and I wasn't very good at a whole lot of things.
Mood.
Like, I was not academic. I was not athletic. I don't feel like I was cute enough to be in kid child pageants. I wouldn't want to be one anyway, but as I got older, singing was really the one talent, I guess, that I knew that I had. And it was kind of the root of my confidence and where I could really explore. In fact, you know, as I got older, I'm going to say that a lot because this is a timeline that's not very organized. But I would want to do musicals and stuff, but I had no idea where to start. So I'm like, well, I guess I better start with a script. And so I would watch them over and over and over and over again and write scripts while I was hearing it. And I would look up the songs and write them down in perfect key. The first musical I ever did that with was Beauty and the Beast. I have a folder of Beauty and the Beast. That would have been copyrighted.
I've never heard of this before.
But I mean, as a child, that's what I did. I knew that if I wanted to do this, we didn't have the money to do it. But I said, okay, I'll start with the script. And I don't know if I ever completed Beauty and the Beast, but I did get pretty far. It's got some weight to it.
Gosh.
So did you have to like stop and write stuff down and then play again and then write more down? Like, did you go in chunks or did you literally just write like crazy while you were watching?
A mix of both. I watched things multiple times, but also, I mean, YouTube's great because I could just find the particular scene that I wanted and I could write it down, and I could also put subtitles because I was not good at spelling. And so I could do that. And, you know, I can't remember how it turned out, but it was something very interesting. Never did any kind of musicals. I've never even been in a musical before. Our theater group never even really took off a whole lot. But then when I was around 14, I said, you know what? Why don't I just start a theater group? And 4 years later, I mentioned it to my best friend. And she's like, that's a really good idea. And so months later,
you were 14.
Casual.
You were 14 when you decided to start a theater company?
I was 14 when I had the idea, but I was 18 when I started. I don't look 18. I know you're seeing me and I don't look 18. I also get that a lot.
So you are 18 now.
Yes.
So, okay. So you and Rachel are the same age, actually. Wow.
Look at you. Oh my gosh. Even though being 14 and having that idea, I would never thought of that.
When I was 14, I don't know, trying to figure out what to wear to school every day.
Yeah.
Like, the thought of,
That's when I did my first musical.
Let me just go ahead and start a whole theater company. Like, that maybe would not have crossed my mind at age 14.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to watch Grease and write down everything. No, I was not.
I'm going to write the whole script out for Grease while I watch it.
I was being probably a dumb teenager. I don't know what I was doing, but dang, that is crazy. So you just, and you brought this up with your friend and like that kind of started taking off in March?
Well, it started a little bit earlier. I mentioned the idea to her and we just kind of put the idea on the back burner. But then in March, we were very lonely. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know if this will ever take off. But if I don't start it now, I probably will never start it. And so I just kind of texted my friend, Caitlin, and I said, hey, I'm starting the theater group. Do you want in? And she's like, and she put in all caps, yes.
Oh my gosh, casually.
And we started with the people we knew and we just kind of texted a bunch of people who were like, hey, we have a theater group, do you want to be in it? And they're like, yes. And the theater group name was called Organized Abstract Arts. I came up with the name. I can't remember exactly what reasons were behind the name. I just liked the name. OAA.
OAA. Okay. We'll have to write all this stuff down too at the end. But so then, did you have a location that you were thinking of and how you would communicate to other people that you were starting a theater company, or what was like your first step in this?
Well, really, my first step was to just find more people to be in it. And eventually, we started the group. We started like with people helping me run it. Initially, Caitlin was just in the group, wasn't necessarily a co-founder, but after a day, she's like, hon, you need help. You're run down already.
Yeah.
So she joined in on that. And eventually we had a team of five. Two of the members, I have no idea how we even put them in. They were not qualified. Like, I'm just going to say it like that. And, you know, the third member, oh my goodness, she did as much work as I did. And, you know, as the founder and as just someone helping, I don't feel like the work should be the same. I feel like she should have had more breaks. Though we're not friends anymore due to personal reasons, I still to this day really respect her and her work ethic. She had amazing work ethic. She did everything. Like, she was part of the costuming department. She worked up a budget that was way over what we could afford, but still. And that was partially my idea, my reasons, because I'm an ENFJ and I, like, though I am realistic, I'm also very idealistic. I'm like, okay, we got to make this close to Broadway.
And like, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it to the best of our ability.
Yes, that's always been my kind of thing. As well as, you know, she was also trying to find more people to be in the group and dealing with her own personal problems at home. And so I just feel like there's so much that she's done for the group, and to this day I still really respect her for it.
Mm-hmm. So I guess my next question, so you said something about like costumes,
like how did you go to like Goodwill, like how do you even do that? Like,
well, the thing is, we never even really made costumes, but our ideas for it were, at least for me, I'm like, oh, it's going to be hand-sewn, because I was also going to be part of the costuming department. And, you know, we were going to find patterns that were very similar to the costumes and fabrics and stuff. We managed to find Christine Daae fabric, like in the wishing dress on the Broadway one. It was $15 a yard.
Oh my gosh.
That's way too expensive for us. But, you know, I'm like, well, maybe we could find a way to afford it.
Yeah.
But awesome. We didn't get to do that.
And it's kind of, you almost have to, I feel like, especially when you're first starting out. I mean, even in like
our community theater groups, like
a lot of times, like your costumes are stuff that you own and mm-hmm. what you wear. Like the one rule for Crescent Players, which is one of the theater groups me and Rachel were both in, it was always, you know, the shoes, that was your problem. Always get your own shoes. But then it was like a lot of other stuff, you know, I would always have to buy a few things and yeah. it wasn't really expensive. So, I mean, definitely saves a lot of money, but that's still pretty interesting.
So now that things are starting to open back up and theater companies are starting to come back to the real world, are you still trying to get this off the ground?
Honestly, it ended 6 months ago, you know, due to drama, as I've said before. But, you know, to this day, I am thinking about it a lot. I'm like, okay, I now know the pitfalls. I know potential problems. So maybe I could avoid it. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of time, and would I be able to handle it again? I actually wrote down a few rules for it for myself. Like if I ever did open it up again, I have a paper. Before giving people jobs, ask them questions, make them fill out a form, look at their social medias, ask their parents and friends if it's a good idea. Have more responsible adult members in the group. Limit the times you talk about the theater group, and even limit how much you really focus on it. Yeah. Because I was focusing on it night and day for probably a good 6 months of the time that it was open.
All your time, and you know, like your mental health is kind of like, yeah, I get
and
that.
And though I had a lot of what I feel like good ideas, you know, I wasn't able to really bring them to action because of the circumstances we were in. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, one of my ideas in order to make the costumes very versatile and reusable was to, instead of make zippers, use snaps and have several rows of snaps to where you could snap the fabric inside the costume and fit it to each individual person, depending on if we were doing, you know, for understudies, if we were planning on doing another show and that costume could fit into that show. Mm-hmm. That way that it fit. Also, another thing was backdrops that you could paint over, as well as like clean and just fold up mm-hmm. somehow. Like it was going to be metal somehow, and it's going to be like folding. We never did that. In fact, in later year, in so I say later years. No, this isn't even gone for a year. But in later months, we decided, okay, you know, once we get a musical up and running, we're going to just have a backdrop that we can paint. It's not going to even really, it's just going to be paper.
Just, it's easier that way. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, starting a whole theater company, it's not an easy thing to do. And especially,
you have to be simple.
And at the age of 18, and also that's another thing, like, especially with some of the stuff that I've done, you know, my book and writing the musical, like sometimes it's hard to get people to take you seriously as well at this age.
Oh, and especially.
So the concept of you even taking the initiative to start this early on is like crazy, because I'm sure there were a lot of people that didn't take you seriously and were like, she's trying to start a theater group. This is just stupid. It's not going to work. Like I'm sure you got that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, my family, they weren't necessarily like that. They were just like, you know, I don't really have an opinion about it. Like, I support you, but I just know how hard it is. And so if it doesn't work out, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very hard to create a theater company. And
yeah, especially when you're 18, because it's already hard enough to do that. But then trying to do anything when you're younger, like bigger, like what you were saying, like Rachel with your book, and literally even like with my Instagram music account, like I feel like you have to almost like overcompensate because people mm-hmm. don't believe in you. So you like, I mean, maybe, you know, it not working out at the time being is like almost a better thing, because like what you said, you've learned more, and you know, maybe it just wasn't the right time, especially with a pandemic. It's kind of just like, cool. But I think at least there's definitely so much that you could learn from, you know, starting a company or a theater group, and like, you know, not just you, but everyone else involved.
So what are some big things that you definitely learned that you would do differently? What are some of the biggest things?
You know, really be careful about who you put into a position of power, because eventually it could turn around and bite you in the butt, like it did for me.
Yeah.
You know, the person that we put in power, she was on like she was head of dance committee, but somehow she ended up in like the mains deciding like bigger things. And the thing is, she was also younger. She was like 12. I have no idea how we managed to put her in a place of power. That was stupid of us.
12?
Like, I mean, I hate to throw around the word stupid, but it lacked judgment. The decision that we made for that, it was one of those things where, you know, we were desperate for people to join, and very much we just wanted people to help us out. We needed people to help us out because it was big, very, and the thing is, she did have a bit more maturity, at least in the beginning, but towards the end there was a lot of just like, you tell her things and then she'd turn around and tell someone else and spin it in her own way.
That's another thing working with younger people.
Yeah, it's like, I now have a fear of 12-year-olds. 12-year-olds are scary, man.
They're at an age that's not really the greatest. But and I think something too is, you can be really good friends with someone, but that doesn't necessarily mean you should work with them, because you have to have, you know, that personal relationship, but then you have to keep that separate of your professional relationship. And I think that can be difficult because they kind of intertwine.
Definitely. And, you know, it's like the other member, she was just kind of there. Mm-hmm. She didn't offer necessarily as much help as what we needed. And so it was just one of those things where it was literally myself, Caitlin, and then our other friend that was doing the most. And and whenever we'd say, hey, we need help on this, sometimes we'd get no reply. Mm-hmm. Like, they were just expecting someone else to help.
Yeah. I could see that. I think even the people, I'm thinking of like Jay County,
like the people who do like the main stuff. So like, this was, I'm thinking Newsies, Rachel, when you were student director. Mm-hmm. Just like, it was you, and then there's, you know, the head director, the assistant director, then like someone's in charge of costumes, someone does technology, you know, the technology part. And it's like, they have to do, there's so much stuff. And it's like, you want to try to eat, like make it as even as you can of who's doing what. But I mean, at the end of the day, some people, they might not put in as much work as others.
And even with adults, there's still going to be commitment issues. Like, that's, I feel like, going to be one of the hardest things that for any theater company starting up. Like, yes, there were commitment issues when you were dealing with the 12-year-old and some of your friends, but I mean, that's sadly something that's gonna come regardless. Like, grown adults will, like, just even being in a show, not memorize your lines. Like, the week of the show, they're still on book, or they're in a position of power and they aren't getting done what they need to get done for the show to happen, or they're trying to pawn it off on somebody else, or they're not showing up. And so I feel like that has to be a really, really difficult thing to get over as well.
Definitely. I feel like so much of, I feel like so much of just, I guess the biggest problem with theater is it's not necessarily consistent with who you find. Mm-hmm. It's not the biggest problem, but it is a problem.
No, it is, because there's different levels of how people view theater. Some people eat, sleep, and breathe it, and some people do it just for fun, and then some people do it because their mother said that they have to do it. So, like, the level of commitment changes between each person and how seriously they view it.
Especially at a lower level, like if you're like at school, or if you're doing a musical at school or community theater, like that's obviously going to be a lot different and more, there's going to be more variance between people's commitment compared to like Broadway, obviously. And it's just kind of annoying, but it's just something you kind of have to accept about it.
Oh yeah. And I was expecting I was hoping for Broadway commitment from just teenagers.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily reasonable. And that was probably a big thing, fault on my part. But also, I had never been in theater. I had never really had much experience with it, not even really in school. And so it's like, I kind of viewed it as, yes, this is my chance to be involved in something. Mm-hmm. This is my chance to, you know, perform and do things. And even though I was a leader of the group, I was not going to be involved in casting. That way that I could still audition. And, you know, if I did get a big part, it would be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not like, and even then I still feel like there would have been rumors like, oh, she rigged the numbers or she rigged the system.
If that's how it is for any time somebody in a position of power, like in a company, auditions for a show that they're a part of. And I've seen that many, 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 many times. If somebody who, because I mean, just because you are involved in casting doesn't mean that you can't be in the show. It's just, at least from my experience, what has happened is the person who auditioned is sent out of the room and everybody else decides what part they get. But anytime somebody who has any say in casting gets a part, there's always rumors and there's always, they shouldn't have gotten this. They only got it because of where they're at. And that stems from jealousy, because I feel like,
oh yeah, definitely.
A lot of times they try to be as fair as they can. Mm-hmm. I think with Jay County, they really did a good job with that. They, you know,
I would agree. Their casting is not biased, and that's one reason I really.
I know, because I was afraid it was going to be biased for me because, well, Rachel was actually a part of the committee, or like the people who were part of casting, and I was like. Like, they weren't going to do whatever you said, but they were still going to listen to your input. But I'm still like, oh, I know you're going to say you like me the best still, but.
And the thing is, though, although you're my best friend and I love you, if you hadn't been the best for that role, I would have agreed that you weren't the best for that role.
Yeah, and I do think that of you, but other people would still be like, you know, other people are always going to see it.
And the thing is, that's just one of those prove them wrong type of situations. You go on stage and you be the best that you can be, and you prove to them that you were given this
role. There is no doubt, like,
not because of who you know, but because you deserve it.
Yeah,
definitely. We had a couple different like casting ideas for what we would do about casting. One would be we send all of our like, you know, pre-made videos to a person. They make a compilation and then we all watch them together and decide, okay, who's best for that role.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I liked the idea, but also it's very hard to regulate people because they could just be voting for their best friend, or they could slip in their own vote to vote for themselves. That's something that I could see very much happening. And so, like, honestly, I still haven't figured out what the casting would be.
It's so difficult. Because you have to limit it to, like, you know, power. People get so weird about power.
Even something just like a theater group, you know, people, when they get even just a little bit, it can go straight to their head. So, I mean, there's a lot of trust. I think that's might be kind of one of the biggest issues, is you have to be able to trust the people that you're asking, you know, like, to help, like, decide, and hope that they're extremely committed as you, and that they're not going to be biased. And that's a lot to ask of a person.
Yeah. Especially at, you know, as you said, such a young age, you know, we're still learning how to be good people.
True.
Like high school drama is, that's why they call it high school drama, because it's very high school.
Yeah.
And so, you know, managing egos and figuring out communication skills. That's one of the things I wanted to touch on, communication skills. We had very little of those. Like, I've always been an open person. I've always been an open person, but, you know, when other people aren't open, if adds to the challenge because you're trying to get them open up. It's like, okay, tell me what you think of me. I might be upset, but also I might take your criticism. Well, you don't know that. And so please talk to me. I've put myself in a position to where I'm allowing myself to be vulnerable. Now, please help me out here. Tell me if I've done something wrong.
People are very scared of communicating.
I know. It's like they really loved passive aggressiveness, but
yeah, I think communication is the issue with literally everything though. You work anywhere, it's just like, I know it's difficult, but like, if we want to accomplish anything, we have to be straight up sometimes.
And that's not even just with a theater company, that's just with people in general. Like, yep. Nothing gets solved if you don't talk about it. And yes, it's not fun for confrontation or to...
Are you adding me right now?
I'm looking kind of adding. No, I thought of that after I started saying that. I was about to at you literally by saying sometimes it'd be easier just to run away.
Okay, I do run. I don't actually just some people are like, I run away from my problems. I'm like, no, I actually run away.
She does not like run. It's not figuratively here. It's literally like Aaron has a problem and she just darts.
I literally run. So, but we're getting better at that. And that's something like 2 years ago when I was 18. Oh God, like even from then, like I am so much better at confronting. Like I've actually confronted probably like 5 people within the past since January.
Yeah. And
that's pretty cool.
Clap. And I'm so clapping.
That's a thing in real life too. It's just a lot of people have issues, and if it involves confronting or talking with somebody else, they don't want to do it and they want to just hope it works itself out, and it never will. So especially if you're trying to start a whole theater company and you're having issues, like if you don't talk about it, the whole thing's going to crash and burn.
Yes. Definitely. And to this day, I still wonder, okay, what do the old members of the theater group think of the theater group? Like, how did it go in their minds?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I know some of the things that they've said about my leadership, and it's not for me to say, you know, if it went well or not, because I'm still very new to running a theater group.
Yeah.
You know, I can't be the one to say, you know, that was right or wrong, but I can say, no, I didn't say that. I remember a lot of things and I can tell you exactly what I said, and I did not say that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you know, where do we even stand?
Yeah. And it's with, you know, like other people being involved, and maybe if they're just in the group and they're auditioning, but they're not actually involved with like helping and getting things started and everything, their view is going to be so much, it's going to be so different because they're, first of all, I don't know, not necessarily they're doing less, but they're seeing a different side of it, you know, being a part and like singing and everything, like that's one thing, but also there's people who do both, and then there's people who just do kind of more of like the business side of things. And I think honestly the best thing though for them, rather than kind of, you know, behind the scenes kind of saying what they think, but you have to be, you know, critical and be just straight up front, you know, rather than like kind of spinning people's words. And I know that's just part of theater, that's life, but like, especially theater, because everyone's dramatic. Mm-hmm. We're all dramatic. It's great. But it's just criticism. You know, you have to, it's like probably about, it sucks. I mean, obviously being a singer, I've learned to take criticism. I'm still bad at it, but we're like, it's hard. It's really hard. But like, and you know, maybe that would be something like, I think in the future, that might be something, you know, you would like think about more of like what, at least I think I would just have to focus on that because it's difficult.
Definitely. And I guess, you know, going back to when I started the group, I wanted to avoid conflict as much as possible. And, you know, that starts with how, you know, my friend Caitlin got involved in it she was like, okay, I see where you're coming from, but I know how hard it would be for you to kick someone out if you had to. Mm-hmm. And so I'll be the person that kicks out. And I'll then when the I needed her hardest. To kick someone out, she was best friends with them.
Oh, gosh.
And so I never told her to kick them out because I knew that if I did, it wouldn't go well. And I wanted to preserve my friendship. Mm-hmm. And it's better now. Everything is basically back to the normal with us as far as our friendship. And in some ways, I think we're closer after mm-hmm. the situation because we've seen, you know, more just drama together. And we now have, you know, something to talk about that we can relate on.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we've always had that. Yeah. That's the best way of describing it. I'm not always good with words.
Mood. I sometimes just trail off and then I'm like, wait, which is weird. Why do I have a podcast, you know? Like,
wow.
But
I've trailed off probably 50 times already.
No, it's okay. I do it. It's like literally both of us. If you've listened to our episodes and anyone who's listening right now knows this about us.
If you've been a loyal listener, you know that sometimes we get off topic.
Like every 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. But
okay, I was reeling it back.
Yeah, I was gonna say there was something I was gonna say, and now I can't remember.
Was there anything else big that you had that you wanted to talk about? Or were those some of the main things?
I mean, I'll tell some of the funny stuff now because there were some
funny stories. Let's okay.
Yeah. So, not really a funny story, but something we'd say is, okay, it's gonna be very hard to get the rights to something. How can we blackmail the creator of this musical into giving us the musical rights? We're like, there was one evening that we talked about how to get rights to Phantom of the Opera, and we were like, okay, so Andrew Lloyd Webber is standing in a dark alley and we just jump on his back and give say, us the rights. Give us the note. Production. And of course he's carrying his briefcase that has the script in it.
Oh well, yeah, of course.
Because
you gotta make it convenient. Why else?
In this hypothetical situation, that's definitely
I mean,
gonna
of
happen.
Course Andrew Lloyd Webber always carries the Phantom of the Opera with him everywhere he goes.
One of the most valuable stage productions of all time.
And of course he was just chilling in a back alley.
Oh, yeah, in a dark alley.
I mean, he kind of did it to himself. Like, he was just standing in a dark alley.
Gosh,
like,
I love that.
In a way, we did him a favor because that briefcase was probably heavy.
Of course.
Yeah, just helping him out. Gosh, the inside jokes of theater, though. Those are the best. We still have them today. So, but
shut up. She didn't even say anything, and I know what she's doing.
So I wish I could show the people and explain what I'm doing, but I can't. It's okay. They probably want. It's probably not even that funny, anyways. It's just funny to us.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I'm just kind of lost.
Yeah,
that's okay.
You don't want to know. It's just stupid Oklahoma. Okay. Us. Yeah, me just making fun of Rachel.
Oh man, I love Oklahoma.
Oklahoma's the best.
Yeah.
Okay. So during like rehearsals, were there any like slip ups or like someone falling or like, you know, or just anything?
I mean, like, we never even had rehearsals. We were just like, okay, when COVID gets back, we're going to do this. Well, when COVID gets back, when COVID leaves, still yet to leave, but you know.
More setting everything up.
Yeah. And one of our plans for like as far as making the money to do a musical was to perform in a park. It was really pretty and it had a gazebo, like a really big gazebo. And I thought, okay, well, what if we set up like a microphone system and we just kind of showed rehearsals, you know, because people, they might be walking or something and we could leave a little donation jar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And but the thing is, I don't know if I'd be going against rights or not. So, because like creators are very
you careful could always about do a cabaret type of thing or write your own scripts to different things. And that way, when you do it, it's because I mean, doing a cabaret style, doing songs, that's fine without rights. And if you write your own little thing, that would also kind of get the word out there a little bit about you as a leader.
But it is tricky because it's like, especially with music, it's like I can't even post, you know, you can't post like a singing video of you if you singing with the music, because guess what, like, oh, copyright. Okay, like, it's just like, that's everything.
Don't you just love copyright?
I love it so much, gosh.
Which I understand, but also yeah, sometimes it goes to a very extreme extent.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. It's like, and I think that's why theater kids really appreciate slime tutorials, at least some.
What?
Because apparently, you don't know about slime tutorials?
You don't know what slime tutorials are?
Yeah, I do, but wait, what?
I don't think you do then. If you think they, you just know, you don't know.
When you make the slime?
She's so lost.
What? Wait, explain to me. Sorry.
We'll talk about this later.
Okay.
She's a little lost.
Oh, okay, okay.
Miss Girl. But
covered up with a slime tutorial.
That's how they hide it on YouTube. They say, look up a slime, like, it'll be like waitress slime tutorial.
Oh,
okay. Or like,
slime tutorial. How to bake an apple pie in however long the show is.
Yeah, that's true.
Tutorial. Like,
you're right. And they always do it like something related with the show, like some like weird phrase.
But it's always slime tutorial. Somebody along the line decided that was the best way to cover it up and just coddle.
Okay, now I know what you're saying. Okay, yes, I've definitely seen
the
that.
The wheels were turning, the smoke was coming out of the ears.
Like, I just, okay, I knew what it was. I just,
you're a little behind today. It's okay,
fine. I'm always behind. Okay, that is funny though. Slime tutorial course.
Oh yeah, it's like we used to have a group just for slime tutorials. Whenever we'd find one, we'd be like, okay, there you go. You didn't hear it from me.
Gosh, I love that.
We talked about it too. Like, if I ever ended up in jail because of this, it would be because of copyright.
like
I'd be sitting there in jail and the guy next to me would be like, so what are you in for? I'm like, show tunes.
Show tunes, man.
Copyright.
Show tunes, it's a rough life. Forgot to put slime tutorial on the end of my the crime life for me. Gosh. Morgan, thank you so much for sharing all of this. This is just like something I would have never thought about. And honestly, like, if someone I knew, like, I want to be involved with the team because I don't have time for that. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not able to make a commitment, but even just being involved, like doing shows like that. And our voice teacher, actually, she used to do kind of like Disney show type things, but they weren't actual musicals. They're just like shows.
And hearing from you, I think, as somebody who attempted to start one and it kind of stopped for a little while, I feel like that's really important to hear from, because we've been lucky enough to have quite a few very, very, very successful people that we've gotten to interview. But also with these people, it's something that a lot of these listeners, it's something that will be very hard for them to achieve at some point. So listening to somebody like you, who is like my age, you're 18 years old and you didn't really get a lot of experience with theater, because I'm going to assume, based on the fact that you wanted to start your own company, that there weren't many opportunities around. So you decided to make your own opportunities. Really, and it didn't work. The first time you tried it, it didn't work. And I feel like that's so important to hear, because like I said, the people we've talked to, they're very successful. And yes, they had their failings, but then they made it. And so we haven't really heard from somebody who got to a point where it didn't work and now they have to stop and reevaluate everything. And we don't know what's going to come next.
And even them though, they did successful things and they realized, okay, but I don't know if this is really what I want anymore. I'm still want to be involved with theater, but
exactly,
you know, I'm going to try something else. And it does not sound easy. Both of, we've had two people we interviewed who were like writers, like they actually, you know, they like more involved with writing musicals,
and they both had the opportunities to be on Broadway, and they're both absolutely incredible, and they just went a different direction.
Successful in what they're still doing. Just out of thriving, you know. Sometimes it's just like a good example of, sometimes if you don't get everything the first time, that's better, you know. It only can make you better, and like for the future, who knows.
Yeah, this, who knows?
Exciting.
You know, my friend and I have talked about it, and she's like, I don't think it's a good idea for us right now, but if you decide to open up again, I'm going to back you up.
And also, now that things are starting to open back up, it's going to be a lot easier, because I'm sure many of the issues you ran into were underlying due to COVID, because it's not like a lot of stuff, like everything in person just stopped. So I feel like now that things are opening back up and life is starting to go back to how it was before, trying to start it up again would be a little bit easier.
Yeah, maybe. I think a lot of it is due to just how old I was when I started it. Actually, you know, how old I still am when I started it. I think, I don't know if I was 18. I can't remember if I was 18 when I started. I think I might've been 17, actually. I was 18 when it ended. Mm-hmm. But
there's just like a whole bunch of different things can add up and just be like, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. And, you know, I used to make jokes about it. Like, hey, you know, I bet everyone's going to come at me with knives and pitchforks, like whenever something goes wrong. And they did.
And that's, but, yeah, unfortunately, you know, part of it.
I think that really goes into my instinct. I kind of saw that it was not going to end well, but I still did it. I think because I thought, you know what, I'm bored and I want to do something like this. And if it goes well, awesome. I want to keep doing it. But if it doesn't, that's okay.
Yeah. Wow. How are you just so not afraid? I feel like you're just not afraid of failing. Like most people, they'd be like, if it doesn't go well, then my life is ruined. You know?
I mean, you know, I probably would have had that outlook when I started it, but also I thought, hey, I have nothing to lose at this moment. And, you know, in fact, I have so much more to gain from this.
Yeah.
Whether it's experience. And I think that failing is a part of life.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
I think if we don't fail at least once or twice, we're not going to understand things as well. And, you know, it really kind of goes back to the musical, The Fantastics, and that one line, without a hurt, the heart will hollow, or the heart is hollow. And so I think a lot of my life experiences, things tend to go better when you're not afraid to fail, because then you take more chances.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so, so much for joining us today. I absolutely love having guest speakers.
Yeah, we've had so much fun.
We've had such a variety of people on here. And it's, I mean, we've had somebody who pretty much is on Broadway starting their own musical right now that's going to like reinvent theater. And then we've
got Tori.
And then we have somebody who has like a whole app.
Yeah, he's the Pocket Pitch. If you know anything, if you have the app Pocket Pitch, or if you have any friends who are like super into singing, like they might have a Pocket Pitch app on their phone. It's probably by him.
It's the guy that we interviewed.
Oh, man, and we have to check that out.
And then we've had you who, you know, tried to start a whole theater company and
younger than me
has dealt with failure and is still going strong. And she's like, we just had so many amazing people. And it was great having you
and
on
I'm
today.
Glad you can tell our listeners all this, because some people listening probably definitely need to hear this right now.
Definitely.
I needed to hear it today.
Because sometimes failure is a part of life. And you don't know what's going to come next. And we don't know what's going to come next for you, but we would absolutely love to hear. So please keep in touch. And
yes,
anything that happens, or if and when you decide to restart your company, just please let us know. We'd love to keep
in contact. I would love to know about it.
I do. Who knows? Maybe one day. Maybe one day there will be a part two.
Yeah, part two.
Maybe. I don't.
We'll see. So.
Maybe. I mean, not trying to.
Manifest.
Not trying to invite myself. Sorry.
So, yeah, thank you so much. This was a fun episode.
This was.
Thank you so much for having me. I really loved being here.
It was so much fun. I don't know if there's something I need to tell the listeners. Is there something that we need to say or no?
I mean, coffee, how was your coffee?
Oh, my coffee's great. I love it. I always do this though, like I'm so intrigued with what people are saying, or like if you're telling me a musical review or like a story, that I forget about my coffee. But it's good.
Mm-hmm. It's good. I'm very, we should go back to Do Good again.
We will definitely be going back again and trying other stuff.
And I honestly have no clue what episode is going to be next week. Can't give you anything in advance, so it'll be a surprise for all you listeners.
It'll be crazy.
Okay. But yes, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you, Morgan, for being here. And we will see
you
all next week.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Goodbye.